Hello, and welcome to the fourth episode of Hotline Crime. In today's case, I'll be going over a disappearance which resulted in an 11-month-long search. This is the story of Maitrice LaVon Richardson. Maitrice was born April 30th, 1985, in Los Angeles, California. Her parents were Latisse Sutton and Michael Richardson. She was raised in Covina, California by her mother and her stepfather, Larry Sutton. Maitrice went to South Hills High School in West Covina. Later, she went to California State University in Fullerton, California, just 20 miles from where she was raised. She even graduated with honors and received her Bachelor of Arts degree in psychology in May of 2008. Maitrice was an ambitious young woman, responsible and well thought out. She had even planned to attend graduate school and get a doctorate in child psychology. Taught by her mother at a young age, Maitrice pursued everything she was interested in with 100%. She even participated in beauty pageants and was in competitive cheerleading in high school. Maitrice lived with her great-grandmother Mildred, which the family enjoyed since Mildred was 91 and living alone at the time. Maitrice and her grandmother even made sure to have dinner together every Wednesday. In the years prior to her disappearance, she slowly came out to her family as a lesbian, and they supported her fully with unconditional love. Maitrice eventually became open about her sexual orientation and had been dating a woman named Tessa Moon for 2 years prior to her disappearance, and they had broken up shortly before Maitrice disappeared. She got work in a popular LGBT nightclub and had even attended the Playboy Mansion's Hot Summer Nights party as a guest model. At the nightclub, she worked as a go-go dancer. She would get on a platform and dance along to music to hype up the clubgoers and look good. Wednesday, September 16, 2009, 5 p.m. As I mentioned earlier, Maitrice usually had dinner with her great-grandmother on Wednesdays, but Maitrice had made other plans this night. The ocean was calling to her, and she was ready to take a drive to Malibu. According to Mildred, they just talked for a bit and caught up instead of having dinner before Maitrice left. Around 7 p.m., Maitrice is driving along the Pacific Coast Highway and entering Malibu, about 40 miles from her home, when she spots a well-known restaurant called Joffrey's. She drives up to the restaurant and the valet informs her that it's valet parking only before he went off to park another vehicle. When the valet returned, Maitrice wasn't in her car. She was in the valet's car, sorting through his CDs. The valet said that she was speaking kind of fast and in broken sentences that seemed to make no sense. She said she was there to avenge Michael Jackson's death, and she kept saying the name Vanessa. Vanessa was a woman she allegedly had a crush on at the time, and September 16, 2009 was just about 3 months after Michael Jackson's death, so she may have just been saying stuff that was on her mind. When the valet asked Maitrice what she was talking about, she just responded with, "It's subliminal." The valet gets her out of his car and alerts the restaurant staff to Maitrice's behavior. Something just seemed off about her. Maitrice asked the hostess for a table for one. She ordered a $65 steak and a cocktail. The table next to hers had a lively group of 7 people. Being the happy, outgoing person she was, Maitrice asked the group if she could join them, and they welcomed her to the table. They said she spoke a lot about astrological signs in a way that didn't really make sense. The lively group enjoyed her eccentric behavior, and after they paid their bill and left, Maitrice is alone. She went to leave, but before she could, the manager stops her. He asked Maitrice how she planned to pay for her bill, and she tried to brush it off by saying the group she was with covered the bill. The manager informs her that they hadn't paid for her meal, but Maitrice still seemed kind of blasé to the situation. He asks her if there is anyone she can call to assist her in covering her $89 bill, so she gave him her great-grandmother's number. It's around 9:30 at the time that 91-year-old Mildred receives a confusing call from the restaurant manager. Stunned, she offers over her credit card information to Joffrey's, but they told her they cannot accept credit card information over the phone. She'd have to sign the slip in person, or she could fax over her signature. But it was late, it was dark, Malibu was too far for her, she was 91 years old. There was nothing she could do. A few of Joffrey's employees offered to pay the $89 bill for Maitrice, but the owner declined these offers and contacted authorities instead, in part due to her concerning behavior.
Hi, I'm calling from Joffrey's restaurant in Malibu. We have a guest here who is refusing to pay her bill, and we think she sounds really crazy. She may be on drugs or something. We are wondering if someone can come by and pick her up.
Okay, well, what's the address, sir?
It's 27400 Pacific Coast Highway.
And is she a white, black, Asian, Hispanic?
She's
she wearing?
She's wearing a black t-shirt and I think blue jeans.
Is she with anybody else?
No, it's just her.
It wasn't until the police arrived that Maitrice took in the severity of her situation. She seemed scared now, but one of the officers tried to calm her and put her mind at ease. They gave her a sobriety test to see if she was fit to be behind the wheel. They came to the conclusion that Maitrice was sober. They asked again if she had any way to settle the check from her dinner at Joffrey's. She told the officers that she thinks she left her wallet in her car, so they searched for it to no avail. They did, however, find her keys and her driver's license. Her car was quite a mess. In it, they also found less than an ounce of marijuana. She admitted to it being hers, and instead of giving her a ticket for what would have been a misdemeanor, police placed her under citizen's arrest for defrauding an innkeeper and charged her with possession a while later. Around 10 p.m., Maitrice's great-grandmother contacted Maitrice's mother, Latisse. A puzzled Latisse calls the restaurant. She found out her daughter was taken by police and informed her mother of Maitrice's behavior in the restaurant. She also finds out her daughter's car is about to be towed. Latisse says her daughter had never been in any trouble that involved police in her life, that she wasn't the type to go to a restaurant and not pay her bill. Maitrice's 10-year-old sister was sound asleep at their mother's house. It was late, and the police station was 60 miles away from her home. She couldn't leave, so she called the Lost Hills Police Station and spoke with a deputy.
I am calling. I'm a little frazzled right now. I understand my daughter is being brought into the station. My three sons have made it to the station yet. She's been booked.
Okay, do you know where she's coming from?
It's some restaurant out in Malibu, and I didn't even think to get the name. The manager came in.
Yeah, please, we have somebody that's in custody that they just announced on the radio that they're coming up is from Joffrey's.
Joffrey's
Highway. It's the only female that's being brought up to the station as we speak. They actually just put on the radio right before you called.
Okay. I'm the mother, and are you guys going to book her and then release her on her own recognizance tonight? Because it's dark, she doesn't have a car, and I don't want her wandering out. I'm totally just taken aback because this is so out of character for her. And you'll see when she comes in, she's well-spoken. I think the only way I will come and get her tonight is if you guys are going to release her tonight.
Yeah.
If she's going to be held in custody for some type of arraignment tomorrow, then I will wait until tomorrow. She definitely has no place, you know, I mean, she's not from that area, and I would hate to wake up to a morning report. So lost somewhere with her hand chopped off, so I guess I would have to come and get her. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're in a current home. The only thing is, at least in the station here, she won't be separated, so nobody's going to be with her. That's, you know, the plus thing, so you don't have to worry about her safety.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel safe with her being in custody. It's being released, but I'm worried about it. It's crazy out here. All right. Well, then I will more than likely call and touch bases with you guys a little bit later.
As soon as she comes in, too.
It's 5:20 a.m. when Latisse woke. She never received that phone call about Maitrice's release, not even a phone call when they booked Maitrice. She finds out Maitrice was released at 12:30 a.m. With her car still 15 miles away when she was released, the jailer urged Maitrice to stay at the station until someone could come pick her up, since she wasn't offered a ride to pick up her vehicle by police. She declined the offer to stay in a cell, and also declined the offer to stay in the lobby until someone could pick her up from the station. She said she was meeting some friends, despite the only calls being made to her great-grandmother while she was in police custody. After her release, she left alone. Latisse called everyone she could think of before she started to panic. She calls the station a second time. This audio clip is a little bit longer, but it is well worth the listen.
Lost Hills Sheriff's Station, you're meeting.
Yes, good morning. My name is Latisse Dutton. I'm calling to follow up on my daughter who was brought in last night around 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Okay, let me check
you
in the jailer. Hold on, please.
Thank you.
Baumgartner.
Yes, hi. My name is Latisse Batman. I called not too long ago regarding my daughter, Maitrice Richardson. How long before a missing persons report can be filed? Is it 24 or 48 hours?
Yes, no. Well, it depends on the circumstances, but I didn't take your call, so I'm not familiar with it. Did she just not return home after going out?
She was arrested last night. This is the first time she's been arrested. She's in an unknown area.
Okay.
that she's never been in. She's without a vehicle. Nobody can find her.
And where was this at? Where was she arrested at?
Your facility. Her name is Maitreese Richardson.
Okay. Do you know if she's here now, or was she released?
They said she was released.
Okay. And what time was she released?
At just shortly after 12 a.m.
Yeah, normally I wouldn't recommend doing one that soon.
Right, what is the time frame?
You know, I guess probably 24 hours would be reasonable. I mean, there would be some mitigating factors, you know, where you would suspect maybe something, right?
Know the area. She's never been in your area before.
Where does she live?
She is unfamiliar with that area.
Do you think she possibly could have gotten a bus?
Listen, my child has never ridden a bus. No.
Right.
She would not know how to ride a bus.
I would probably wait till, early this morning, and if she doesn't turn up, you can certainly call. I don't suspect anything bad happened.
I'm concerned. First of all, I thought they were going to keep her overnight because she was highly intoxicated. Something is obviously going on with her.
Have you tried the jailer?
Yes, I have. He said he tried to get her to stay, but because she was an adult, he had to let her go. I believe that she is highly depressed, and she's in a depressive state.
There's a lot of options, a lot of possibilities, and I don't think all of them would be, something dire, but I can certainly understand your fears, being your daughter and all that.
Well, I think she's depressed. That's what has me.
That's worth more than just her. Okay.
That and the fact that she's in an area where she doesn't know where she's at.
Does she take medication at all?
I believe it's a state that she's in right now because of just the weird activity just going on.
What's her name?
Maitreese Richardson.
Okay, and your name is?
Latif.
Okay, here's what I want you to do. Why don't you wait a couple hours and give us some time to I'll go back and talk to the jailer and try and get a timeline of when she was released and make sure she's not asleep in her lobby or anything like that. And then once you give us a call back in a couple hours, if she hasn't shown up or made contact with you, then maybe we can do something for you, okay?
Knowing Maitreese was sober, but taking into account the erratic behavior at Joffrey's, her family believes the police should have held Maitreese for a psychiatric evaluation instead of releasing her, that she should have been put on a 72-hour hold. Thursday, September 17th, 6:30 a.m., the police receive a call from a man in Calabasas, around 7 miles from the police station where Maitreese had been released.
Yeah, this is Smith at Gold Canyon. We had a prowler walking around from the backyard here, but we don't know what the situation was. Don't know if you have a unit in the area. Might do a little drive-by or something.
Okay, where's this at?
This is Gold Canyon. Like, not Gold in Molineo. But it's in the back of the house, which is right where Wood Bluff hits the Gold Canyon. And we just had a strange woman walking through the backyard here. It's a fairly large property. She was sitting on the step right in the back of the house here. This is kind of a circular driveway, but the gates were closed, so we don't know where this woman came from.
Across Wood Bluff?
Yeah, that's right. There's a horse trail, hiking trail access through here. We've never had this kind of thing happen before.
What she looks like, white, black,
and blue? A tall, slim, black woman with afro hair.
How tall?
Well, she was sitting down, stretched out on the wooden steps in the back of the house. Hard to tell, but she looked like she might have been medium to slightly tall, with a big afro hair. Very skinny. And I think she was wearing maybe jeans or tight pants with a t-shirt.
You never seen her there before?
No, never. Nobody ever does that. I mean, the people hike on the trail all the time. The trail goes through our property, but we leave it open on purpose because it's kind of a nice thing for horses and people.
She went across the steps, or?
She was sitting kind of sprawled out on the wooden steps back of the house, right against the back.
description when she last seen him?
Never saw her. She, once she left, she just disappeared. I moved from one window to another. I said to her, I hollered down, are you all right? She said, I'm just resting, or something like that. She's certainly gone out of the way to get to that close to the house, because the hiking trail is not that close. It's on the ridge.
Great. Thank you, Report.
Appreciate that very much. Not a problem.
Thank you.
Bye.
The sheriff's station sent out a car to the man's house, but they came up empty. According to this man, it was a very quick visit. They came out, they looked around, seen nothing, and left. At 6 p.m., Latisse heads to the Lost Hill station with a friend to file that missing persons report. While there, an officer on duty tells her about the possible sighting in Calabasas. After filing the report, Latisse decides to head down to the area where Maitrice may have been seen. She takes note of the rugged landscape during her drive. Friday, September 18, 2009. Her family puts together a string of odd behavior from Maitrice the days leading up to when she went missing, from confusing text messages to leaving cards from her go-go dancing club all over her Aunt Lauren's house. Lauren also found a note on her husband's car windshield that had a really big smiley face and the words "Black women scorned" written on the side. Maitrice had signed the note with a kiss. Saturday, September 19th, 2009. The case was passed to the LAPD since it was technically in their jurisdiction, and they start the search at the home in Calabasas where it was believed she had been sighted just 48 hours earlier. They took search dogs to the location, who were able to pick up on Maitrice's scent. The search dog was able to trace the scent to an adjacent home before the trail was lost. The police searching the scene were able to find footprints of Maitrice's in the dirt road. At first, it looked like she had been walking, then it turned into a run on the shoulder of the road, before they were no longer available to trail the prints at all. Hikers and horses use the shoulder a lot in this farm area of Calabasas, and after 8 hours, the search teams were sent home. Wednesday, September 23rd, 2009. LAPD detectives assigned to Maitrice's case make their way toward Malibu Towing to process her vehicle. Inside, they found her journals. Cross-referencing those with her MySpace and Facebook posts, detectives said they were ongoing. They don't see where she would have had any time to sleep. Based on the content of her social media posts, especially in the 24 hours before she went missing, a psychologist working with the LAPD believes Maitrice was suffering from a mental disorder, possibly bipolar disorder. Remember when police searched her car for her wallet at the restaurant and couldn't find it, possibly due to the state of her car? Well, detectives informed her family that they found her cell phone and her wallet while processing the vehicle. Inside the wallet, she had a debit card with over $2,000 available at the time. She could have paid her bill, or at the very least, when she was released, she could have had her cell phone or some money. Over the next few days, Maitrice's family tries to get the incident reports or see video surveillance of her at the station. The investigators decline these requests, saying they had to follow protocol. With nowhere else to go and feeling like police just aren't helping, Latisse hired a civil rights lawyer who held a press conference in front of the Lost Hills police station. He said if Maitrice's last name had been Spears or Lohan, they would have never let her leave alone. She would have been escorted home. This wasn't the protect and serve the police proudly display on their vehicles. To Latisse, the police didn't do what they could have done to protect her daughter. A couple days later, the police incident reports were released and all in line with the media accounts, but something was missing. All of the concern the officers showed Latisse of her missing daughter was absent from the reports. In January 2010, a meeting between Maitrice's family and the captain of the Lost Hill station takes place. Lauren, Maitrice's aunt, wanted proof that no video surveillance of Maitrice existed. Going down the list of any type of video, the captain had to finally admit they had footage of Maitrice from that night. The police excused themselves by saying that until now, family had only asked for video surveillance of Maitrice leaving the building, but none of her in police custody. Saturday, January 9th, 2010. It's now been 4 months since Maitrice went missing, and officials put together another search. In fact, it was the largest search in Los Angeles County in over 2 decades. But after hours of searching, they again came up with nothing. February 2010. Michael Richardson, Maitrice's father, was in Las Vegas. Sitting in a truck downtown, he couldn't believe what he thought he had seen. Nearly 300 miles away from her home, He claims to have spotted his daughter, Maitrice, working the streets as a prostitute. He exited the truck and called out to her, and even tried catching up to her, but lost her in a crowd. He contacted authorities. And while rumors surfaced in the public that Maitrice may still be alive, Latisse still felt in her heart that the sighting was false. She believed her daughter was dead, and she just wanted to find her and bring her home to rest. In March 2010, Michael Richardson is still searching Vegas for his daughter, while Latisse is still waiting on the surveillance footage. It's been 6 months since Maitrice went missing. On Monday, March 29, 2010, her family is finally able to view the footage. They notice she looks agitated, swinging her arms like she was trying to break out, but something else caught the family's eye. After her release, before the door closes on Maitrice, you can see another door open and a male officer quickly exit the building behind her. Eager for any possible information that deputy may have, they asked for answers. Maitrice's family was told that this officer had just made a routine traffic stop while on duty with his partner and was just dropping off an arrestee then leaving. This was ultimately concerning to the family because they had been told that no deputies were at the station during the time Maitrice was there. Saturday, June 26, 2010. In Los Angeles, Latisse and her criminal defense attorney, Leo Terrell, file 6 claims against the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, including wrongful death. Just a short while later, an old classmate of Maitrice claims to have seen her at a casino in Vegas. He said the woman he seen looked nervous and hurried away, this marking over 70 individuals who have believed to have seen Maitrice in Vegas. Based on this large number of alleged sightings, the LAPD goes to Vegas in July to look for any proof of Maitrice staying there, but still, Latisse doesn't believe Maitrice is in Vegas. She believes her daughter never left that rugged terrain she'd seen on her drive just months before after filing the missing persons report. Sunday, August 9th, 2010. It's 1 p.m. and Malibu Park Rangers begin to hike down Dart Canyon, a few miles away from the believed sighting of Maitrice in Calabasas the night she went missing. The Rangers were there to check up on a defunct illegal marijuana grow site that had been eradicated about a year earlier, weeks before Maitrice drove to Malibu. While hiking their way to the site, one of them seen what appeared to be a human skull. They called for a deputy, and within the hour, officers took over the scene. 6 hours later, they airlift the partially mummified body out of the canyon in a body bag. Thursday, August 12, 2010. 4 days after park rangers discovered a body, it was confirmed that the remains found in Dart Canyon were those of Maitrice LaVon Richardson. The coroner's office stated the cause of death as undetermined, not homicide. However, her family believes that since she was found naked in an area that was remote and hard to get to, she may have been assaulted. The report also stated that against the coroner's advice, police moved Maitrice's body before the coroner's team could properly investigate her remains at the site. The police said they moved her body because it was getting dark out and because they didn't want her remains to be disturbed by wildlife. Latisse is understandably suspicious, so she hires Clea Koff, a world-renowned forensic anthropologist who determined the scene was mishandled by officers. Maitrice's clothes were never sent to the crime lab to be tested, or even requested to be sent to the crime lab for testing, which is unusual in the case of a 24-year-old woman whose body was found naked. In July of 2011, they exhume Maitrice's body, but the coroner's new ruling remained the same, undetermined. During pretrial dispositions in the lawsuit against the police station, testimony showed that the arresting officer and a few deputies were in fact aware of Maitrice's erratic behavior at the restaurant despite their reports missing the concern they had shown to Latisse. This proved to Maitrice's family that without a doubt, she should have been held for a psychiatric evaluation. In August of 2011, Maitrice's parents accepted a $900,000 settlement from Los Angeles County. Maitrice's case remains an open but inactive death investigation, but her family feels the police have technically closed the case. Her family continues to fight for justice in hopes they'll find out the true story of what really happened to Maitrice that night. Thank you for listening to the fourth episode. I'll post photos as usual on the Instagram page at Hotline Crime. Until next time. Thank you. /voice effects. The intro and the outro were both recorded on BandLab and edited with Audacity. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Make sure you subscribe for more content. You can follow us at Hotline Crime on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or email at hotlinecrimepodcast@gmail.com.